Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to hear your voices. And it's very good to see what God is doing and how God is blessing our congregation and how he's blessing you. I don't believe any of you are here by accident, that God had a divine appointment with you. And so as we worship and praise him, we'll find out what those answers are and how he wants to bless you. We'd like to say at this point, if there's two cards in the front pews in front of you, a blue one and a yellow one, if you take a moment to fill those out. One is for prayer request, and whether you're a visitor or a member, we'd love to hear. If you have a prayer request, please fill that out. And if you have something that you would like to have us go to a hospital and make a visit, make sure and include your phone number so that we'll make sure and be able to follow up with you to get all the particulars. Also, we'd like to have, we're just going to take on your names and phone numbers if you're here in attendance with us today. And remember that there's a drawing coming up, so make sure and fill that out. We'd like our visitors as well as our members, we'd encourage you to do that. I believe that's on our blue card. This time, the part that you're waiting for, please stand and greet each other. The handshake of warmth and welcome. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore, by the authority of Christ, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Thank you.
the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we may be called to repentance and made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send to you the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by surpassing the greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel for this week is found in Mark chapter 6. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not the carpenter the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except to lay hands on a few sick people, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages and teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from it. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed the gospel, and that they should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed many with oil, who were sick, and healed them. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, they're located right in front of you. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. What powers your life? I had a gift that was given to me at the district convention as one of the involved people. And it was a portable battery pack that would recharge things such as my iPhone or my iPad or my laptop if it needed it. It was great when I was traveling, and certainly it did the job. And when I started to look, I looked around, I could not get a charge until I remembered I had that. But I think our life sometimes is like that iPhone. It needs to be charged, it needs to be renewed, it needs to be able to get that extra spark so they can do a little bit more. If it's not recharged, you know what happens. It dies and it becomes useless. I've found that sometimes our life is a little bit the same way. We need to be recharged, renewed, re-plugged into that which charges our life. And I found with that portable charger, it's always best to plug in directly into the household current. So it is with us as Christians. It's best to plug directly into God's Word. You know, it's the power of God unto salvation. And it's also good to plug into prayer for our personal lives. You know, we may spend a lot of time at the gym, and we may also spend a lot of time eating healthy or trying to, and improving everything. But what do we do for our spiritual health? I remember a conversation with President Walton when I was on the district staff. And one time there was a few parishioners that came in, and they had a beef with their pastor, and I don't mean roast beef. But they were upset. And President Walton leaned in and asked them the question. He said, "Well, why are you here? What's wrong? What's the problem?" And they said, "Well, our pastor just doesn't feed us anymore." President Walton thought for a moment and looked at him and looked directly at the man that had said it. And he said, "Don't you think you're old enough to start feeding yourself?" As humorous as some of you see that being, it is so very true. We need to learn how to spiritually feed our souls. Like a sponge, our soul is thirsty. It wants to be fed. It wants to receive the waters of our holy baptism, where we are reminded that we are God's children. Like a sponge, we want to soak up God's Word and to hear the power of God's Word at life, at charging up our life. But sometimes we try to get a quickie charge, you know, do a quick prayer or a devotion on the way out the door, hoping that somehow our spiritual batteries will somehow get us enough of a charge to hold us through till the end of the week when we go back. After all, we're busy people. Perhaps we should ask, are we busy doing the right things? I ask that of myself also. The need for plugging in, recharging is not just yours alone. It is also that of your pastor. Paul, in today's text, gives us a look at a problem he had in his life. He called it a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that we read about in that text that was sent to him to give him a problem, that it kept him humble. We don't know what it was. Perhaps it was poor eyesight, or perhaps it was epilepsy, as some have suggested, or some other ailment. But we know that he begged God to remove it at least three different times. But finally, he praised God for it. In fact, he even boasted because of the powerful lesson that he had learned. True grace and true power comes from God and is not found within ourselves or within our life's experiences. You remember from that text in that story that Paul had been the one who was earlier Saul. We don't hear that in that text. But you remember he was killing Christians. But then God, by his grace, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And on that road, Paul was shown the brilliance and the light in the presence of Christ. He saw that he'd been persecuting the wrong person. Christ was one who had come to save him, to forgive him of his sins, and to receive and to welcome him as his child into God's kingdom. And Paul had a wonderful experience of life in ministry. He had revelations and visions and saw all kinds of things. And he was starting to think and boastful about all the experiences spiritually that he had had with God. Some of you have accomplished a lot in your life. You could probably say, I could coast. I've made it. I could sit back and relax now. But I don't think that's really what God wants for any one of us. He wants us to go on because he has a plan and a purpose for your life, a calling for you, a commitment to you that he's going to be with you as you go through it. Paul realized he had not arrived and that he needed God. My grandmother, I'd like to introduce you to Elzina Callison Hayes. 97 years of life. Her first day was as a baby, having, as a child, found out that her mother died giving her birth. It was one of the first C-sections in the state of Iowa, and this doctor was very thought he had done everything, and he properly did, but there was a complication, and he went to lunch, and over the lunch hour, my great-grandmother had bled to death. The baby that they thought was dead, my grandma, was wrapped up in newspapers and put into the corner to be disposed of later. But when they came back and found my great-grandmother had bled to death, there was a rustling of the newspapers. Grandma had kicked. And the nurse went over to examine and to find out, only to find the baby was alive. Now, my grandmother was raised by her older sisters and also by some of her aunts and uncles. And one of the things that I will just say at the next stages of her life, she buried three of her sons, and then she buried two husbands. Grandma Hayes, in my ordination, said to me, Doug, I prayed for you every day when you were at seminary. I want you to know that this is a day that I'm so glad to see that God has blessed you with. That I've learned a lesson that I want to share with you. And I said, what's that, Grandma? And she said, Doug, she actually called me Dougie, but don't you dare. She said, Doug, I want you to know that God never gives you more than you can handle. God never gives you more than you can handle, but he also knows how to spread it mighty thin. And her story, I share with you as a backdrop, perhaps for things that you're going through. Suffering that you're experiencing, prayers that you feel are still being said, but you're still waiting for God to answer them, to see how he's going to deliver you, to help you, things that you're still going through. Paul writes in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, but not only this, we also exalt, praise God, in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, that which allows us to hang on, hold on, and get through. And perseverance, proven character, battle-tested, war-wearied, but allowing us to see that we have a character as a veteran in the trenches of spiritual warfare. And from proven character, a hope that will not disappoint us because our hope is rock solid in the one who is able to defeat death and the grave, namely Jesus Christ. Often God brings you and me deeper into relationships through him in our trials and our tribulations. Here amidst the tears of trouble and sadness, we are surrounded by the sweetness of God's grace in our midst. We are strengthened. Our faith is something that we see becomes rock solid. The assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things yet unseen, yet we know that God is with us. I recall a great time of personal sadness and suffering that Desiree and I went through. It was a time when my dad was dying, and later Desiree's mom had cancer. People saw us amidst the rough and tumble of everyday life, church life, family life, and they saw us being stretched real thin, to quote Grandma. Many commented to us, "I don't know how you guys are still standing." I see this also in some of your personal stories. How you're still standing. But like me, you would say to me, "God is at work." It was God's power that was perfect. Just what we needed to get through, to go on, not just get by. Sure, it was tough and we were tired as well, but we were tried. And as we saw God at work, we were being strengthened from within. How did we get through? God's word, his power unto our salvation. And it was a guide for us daily as we went through daily life. We dug in and dived in to the word of God. We saw what God was saying to us. His powerful promises were poignant. And they were those promises which we clung to. Our prayer life exploded. Yet often when we are without problems, thorns in the flesh, when we're without them, our spiritual life becomes more mundane and erodes. And it is like an unused muscle. Our faith atrophies and shrinks up. During this time, however, in our life of trouble and trials and tribulation, we learn to pray. And we learn to pray, "Thy will be done," and to truly mean it. And during this time, we saw firsthand that God's grace was sufficient and that his power in our life was made perfect in our weakness. We saw and could exult in our tribulation, knowing that our tribulations brought us to proven character and perseverance, and that led us to hope. We made it through another battle, another issue, and then another problem, and soon we saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and we figured out it wasn't a train. Proven character led us to hope, a hope that was in Jesus Christ. And the hope that his answers had arisen and had come to us. Proven character that rested in God. Our identity and our purpose in this life was not shaped by our situations, but by our Savior. We were clothed in Christ and empowered by Christ. We were dressed and ready for battle. We were ready to go. We were believing in what God's will would be right. And we realized that nothing could separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The same is true for you, my friends. God's grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Our dependence is upon God and our abilities, not our abilities, not our characteristics, not our strengths. It's all by God's grace. And I want you to know that Paul was allowed to have this thorn in the flesh. It was truly from Satan. But God used it to strengthen Paul's faith, not to cast it aside. Paul was strengthened. He was shaped. And then he was sent out to do even bigger and better things. I want you to know that some of us also need to realize that we live in a fallen world. And because of that, our broken lives, our broken world, and our own sins sometimes are the cause of some of these problems. But no matter what, your God does not let you go. He embraces you, he loves you, and he welcomes you back. And he takes you into his arms, and he sends you out stronger and better, able to face your life and your situation. When I'm weakened, I am reminded of my human frailty. I am reminded of my dependence upon God, my need for Him in my life, my daily life. I realize that my strength rests in and comes from Him, not from me. When God does great things in and through you or through me, it is despite of me and despite my abilities. Paul's thorn in the flesh reminded him to boast in Christ. My friends, when troubles and trials and tribulations come, open the pages of God's Word and see His love letter written to you. It is God's power unto salvation. It's like that battery pack that plugs you in and charges your life up. Remember, at the waters of holy baptism where God called you and chose you to be His child, and then He washed you and splashed you with the waters of His grace. And as you come forward a little bit later today to receive the bread and the wine, Jesus says, "Take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. I give and shed it for you for the remission of all your sins and the strengthening of your faith." Jesus said, "I am the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, you'll bear fruit. Fruit that will last, eternal and everlasting fruit. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen." This time, please join me as we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. may be seated. This time we would like to call forward the following names, some of which are not here today or have attended one of our earlier services. Tom and Roseanne White. Many of you may remember the Whites from earlier when they were members here. From our foundations class, Paul McMillan and his family, his wife Jennifer, and also, if you could have you coming up, Zach and Hannah. We'd also like to have Brittany and Paul Schetzel come forward. And the little baby yet to be named. You hear what that sounds like, right? Andrea Girod from the CDC, and also Lindsay from the CDC, who will actually later be baptized, possibly at our CDC course, or classes rather, when school resumes. I'd also like to invite Corey and April Smith and their son, if you can come forward. Also from the CDC, who is not in attendance at this point, is Maria Ballesteros. I hope I did that justice. What an austere group of folks. We also would like to call Doug Musico to come up forward also. Bob Holum, who also was here at the last service and actually was a member of our praise team already. Doug is ushering already. And we're glad if you could join us over here on this side. We're going to be able to have a few words, and I'm not sure what's up on the screen, but we'd like to welcome our new members, certainly, and we're going to do that in just a moment. But we'd like to ask you, do you believe a few things, okay? Do you believe in the Word of God, Genesis through Revelation? If so, answer yes. Do you believe the six things that we've taught you in the Foundations course or in your earlier confirmations to be the true and accurate Word of God? The six truths, Ten Commandments, Apostles' Creed, Lord's Supper, Lord's Prayer, and also the many other things about Holy Communion and baptism. Do you believe these to be true and faithful as you find them in Scriptures and the content and sum of your faith? In our course, we also talked about how to read the Bible and how to share it and how to study it. But then we also talked in our final class about how to share your faith. And so you now are not only going to be welcomed to membership here at Trinity, but are also commissioned to go and to send and to share that wondrous good news of Jesus Christ with people out beyond these doors. People in your families, yes, but also people that you may work with, or your neighbors. This do you also gladly and willingly, with the help of God, intend to do? If so, say yes. Yes. I would like to, on this, your confession of faith that we will be in a moment with just said, the Nicene Creed that you took part in. This is the sum and content of our faith. And I would like to say, believing that, I welcome you as members, full-fledged members, into the body of Christ here at Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, and offer to you the membership and the benefits of this congregation to be a part of you, and that we will look forward to years to come to work and growing in our faith together and living our lives together and serving our Lord and Savior together. Let me give you the hand of fellowship, friendship, and also to welcome you. God's blessings. Paul, good to have you in the class. Jennifer, it's good to have you back. Zach, good to have you back. April, it's great to have you. Corey, good to have you. And you're getting bigger. Paul, we've gone through a few things together in life already, and it's good to see this day. It truly is. Really is. Brittany, so much. God has blessed you. And soon with the baby.
Hopefully.
So should we? She's late. Well, she's related to us. What can I say? God, to have blessed you. Good to have you on board with us. Thanks for your ministry with us. I'd like to have you turn. And Trinity, can we welcome our new members? God's peace, and I hope you'll take the second to join us at Loggia 1, where we're going to have some cake and refreshment, and to welcome them and for you to get to meet them and to enjoy them as I have. In your holy name, Lord, may you bless them. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. And Savior Jesus, we give you thanks for these, our new members, and for those who were unable to be with us, we ask your continued blessings to be upon them as well. We thank you for our Foundations class, where many joined us and enjoyed the teachings and the reshaping and recharging of what they'd already known or learned in some cases, and what others were learning for the first time. We thank you. Lord, we ask that your blessing would be upon our church as we reach out into this community to serve you and to make disciples. Help us, O Lord Jesus, also through our Sunday school and our children's ministries, with this church, the CDC Center, and our K-8 program, that you would bless all those who are brought here. May you bless these acres of property that are owned, but also, Lord, may you allow them to be a tool that will be used mightily to reach out into this community and beyond. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray for our teachers and staff. We ask that your blessing would be upon them as they are recharging and renewed for this next school season. We pray that you will be with our principal as he and his wife Susan return home from their vacation. May you allow them the rich blessing of your mercy and grace, and allowing them to return refreshed and renewed, ready to go in serving you. Lord, may you bless us as well as leaders in this congregation and as people of this place. May your will be done through what we do here as is so intended in heaven. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. And now, dear Lord, we ask that you would hear the prayers that have been requested on behalf of your children.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. We pray for Pastor Glander, who's recovering from quadruple bypass surgery. We also offer a prayer of praise for Lisa for a new and exciting job. We offer continued prayers for Larry as he's recovering from spinal surgery. We also pray for Brendan McMillan, family member of one of the new families that were just introduced, as he fast recovery from an injury to his wrist while he's serving with the Marines. We offer a prayer of comfort and peace for Virginia as she lost her brother 2 days ago. We offer a prayer of continued praise and support for the ongoing rescue of the Thai boys that are trapped in the cave, which prior to leaving for service this morning, I read that several have already been rescued. I don't know how many exactly. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. O Lord and Savior Jesus, we now pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he blessed it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Everlasting. The table of the Lord. Take and eat the true body of Jesus, given unto death for you, for remission of your sins, strengthening of your faith. Diane, take and eat the true body of Jesus, Bob, given unto death for you.
is his name? Elsa?
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Lord Jesus, bless you. And Elsa, we're glad to see you. Take and eat of the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, sins. Take and eat, Richard, the true body of Christ. Mark, take and eat the true body of Jesus. Lord Jesus, bless you and keep you by virtue of your baptism. You are Christ's child. You are Christ's child. Body of Christ. 1 second, given unto death for you. For the remission of your sin. Given unto death for you. The body of Christ given unto death for you. Now may this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Thank you. table, O Lord, take and eat the true body of Jesus, given unto death for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, offered up for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins and the strengthening of your faith. And now, may this true body and true blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be yours this day unto life everlasting. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of your coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
I guess that's the first voters announcement. A special voters meeting has been moved from the 15th to the 29th. The purpose of this is to consider the Campus Development Task Force presenting the congregation the motion petitioning the LCEF for an improvement loan to fund the work that was identified for Trinity at the previous voters meeting, if you were here. Please mark your calendars for July 29th at 12:15. Shortly after the end of this service on that date. More details will be in the weekly. Next slide. Oh, past slide, I guess. Went past it. Game night at Trinity. If you're tired of trying to think of something to do on a hot summer night, missing seeing some Trinity members and having some family fellowship, pack up a board game or two and head to Trinity on July 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. for game night. Enjoy a hot dog supper in the fellowship hall, followed by fun and frivolity with board games in the gym. Minute to win it competitions and more. Fun for all ages and everyone's welcome. Hope you'll join us and bring some anew. Please RSVP by July 16th so we know how much food to prepare. And there will be more details in the Tryon Weekly. And Church of Called Ministry Team. Trinity has recently established an adoption and foster care ministry team to begin talking about how it is that we as a church family can minister to children in need, not just through adoption or foster care, but also in providing much needed support to those families who are care for the adopted and foster children. Lifeline Children's Services is partnering with Trinity to explore those options, working with our AFC ministry team to discover the needs in our community, and then create a plan to work toward meeting some of these needs. And there's a video that is about to start here.
Lifeline's ministry is necessary because God has ultimately called the body of Christ to manifest the gospel to vulnerable children. We see it beginning in the Old Testament in the Pentateuch. God continues to renew that call over and over and over again to the people. And so it's an absolute certainty that God has called the church to be the vehicle to minister to orphan and vulnerable children. But we live in a world of complexity where ministering to orphan and vulnerable children requires more than just a theological knowledge. And so Lifeline is necessary because we provide for the church what the church is not prepared to provide for herself. And Lifeline, in its role, comes alongside the church with that very narrow specialization to allow the church to live out the mission that the church has been given to proclaim the gospel through orphan care.
For a child in the foster care system in America, about 50%, sometimes more than that, are actually being reunified with their birth family. But about a third of those are re-entering the foster care system within a year. That is why it is so important for the gospel to go to these birth families.
We're working with children who have no hope. They have been abandoned, they have been abused, they have been neglected, they have been cast aside, they have been told that they're worthless. And that's why at the core of what we do, it's to make the gospel known. When they understand that they have a Heavenly Father that loves them greater than anyone on this earth could ever love them, that brings hope into their lives.
This is hardcore, real-life, messy ministry where the church is being called to enter into broken lives. We have this unique opportunity to put the Word of God in front of these moms and dads who are hungry for truth.
Our great big vision is that one day these kids are replaced into homes through adoption. One day these kids have been fostered through a home at Lifeline. One day these kids have been reached by unadopted will come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and be disciple makers. That's the vision, when these kids' lives aren't just transformed to have a home, to have a place to be educated, but ultimately they see the mission to make the gospel known to the next generation.
And so at Lifeline, we believe that as we help churches and families proclaim the gospel, as we help them bring children home through adoption and care for children through foster care, that change will happen. We don't know where, we don't know when, we don't know how, but what we do know is that God is going to give us glorious story after glorious story of the way that He has intervened in the lives of people and the way He's made change through only His gospel.
And one more reminder before the final hymn. As mentioned earlier, new member reception in the loggia in the first room. I think it'll be apparent which room it is when you get out there, but one of the loggia classrooms, so. All right.
Thank you.
go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.